This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Let's talk about college funding, shall we? Let's talk about bringing education back to the States. Let's talk about parents having more control over their kids' education process. Let's talk about all of it today. Joining me today, my guest, is the president of Cornerstone University, Gerson Moreno-Riano. And Mr. President, thanks for joining us here today in Philadelphia. We appreciate it.
Rich, thank you so much for the opportunity. Look forward to our conversation.
You know, I'm a big fan of Linda McMahon. I love the idea that somebody got hired to put herself out of a job. I think that's pretty cool.
It's really an incredible opportunity she has. I mean, the president has teed her up, quite frankly, and basically laid out the outcome he wants. And here's why we need to do it and why. And now she's got her marching orders. And I think her background suits her well for the job she has to do. It's a complicated task, obviously. It's a massive bureaucracy with a long history. So she's got her work cut out for her. But I think she'll be able to do it. And I'm sure she's hard at work right now.
When you think about it, and I mean, obviously, as a college president, you're talking to parents a lot. You're meeting with them. What are some of the biggest issues that are on their minds today? My kids are younger, 10, 8, and 5. So we're thinking about saving for college. But you're talking to parents and their kids are in high school. And what do they tell you?
I tell you, number one, it's funding. Mm-hmm. It's finances. I mean, that is the number one thing of parents, adult learners across the board. It's how am I going to pay for this? And then number two, is it worth the price? So you have this tension between the price tag. I think it was last year, Vanderbilt was the first university in the country to go beyond $100,000 a year for tuition. I mean, that's a massive price tag, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have the whole value piece. Is this really worth it? Do I really even need this? And that, the latter, has become a significant conversation point now over the last couple of years in our country. When we speak to parents or adult learners, that's what's on their mind. Look, I have to get loans or grants. I have to save. I've got to do all these things to make this work. But will the outcome be really what I think it could be or should be?
Yeah.
What's the value piece? And that should force us at universities to really think deeply about our value proposition, about effectiveness, about being good stewards and delivering value for every family out there.
Now, on that end, I understand that Cornerstone University is doing something to help parents save money, which is a really, really cool idea. A new program called SOAR. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we just launched SOAR today, actually. And what we've done is that we took a hard look at price, value, and technology. And we're like, how can we bring these three things together in accessibility? How do we do this? So we created this program that really cuts the tuition of, you know, out of any, really, it cuts it significantly so that we were more competitive than any other university in the country. Mm-hmm. We've also created the first ever accredited bachelor's degree that can be delivered via an app on a phone.
Wow.
Which is a significant play for us to increase accessibility and flexibility. And we've brought world-class faculty and curricula to deliver an experience that's unlike anything else, because I'm convinced that today's students, whether they're 18 or 35 or 40, you know, the way they consume information has been shaped by Amazon Prime, by Netflix, mm-hmm. right, by Hulu. And so we've really redid our entire curriculum to fit within that model of delivering content. So it's engaging, and we can re-enchant what I call the disenchanted learner. So we're looking forward to that. But the last couple of years as well, I will tell you, we did a tuition reset here at Cornerstone, of a 22% tuition reset. I looked at our team and I said, look, you know, we have families here who are really trying to make ends meet, want to see their kids go through college, give them the best, you know, opportunity possible. let's do the hard work ourselves to take a hard look at value, what we offer, and ensure that it is worth the price tag. And we've begun to see some significant yield from that. And parents telling us, thank you, that you're doing that. You're thinking about this. And you're thinking about me and my family as humans, right? Mm-hmm. Not just transactions. And so I think we'll see great yield from that in the years to come.
I understand you met with about 40 different CEOs talking about the program. What was their reaction to it?
Yeah, we met this morning with about 45 CEOs of West Michigan. I mean, nothing but lots of great positive questions, right? You know, can our employees, you know, get credit for prior learning or prior college experience? How does the mentoring work? How does the coursework work? So we showcased the app and how it was done via phone, and it was overwhelmingly positive. We had three CEOs. We partnered with 12 businesses last year to launch this, to test it. They were there, some of them, and they spoke and endorsed what we're doing, endorsed the program, endorsed what they're seeing their employees learn and bring to the job, right at the job. And, you know, these companies reflect some of the top companies in West Michigan, in manufacturing, food service, construction, technology, on and on. So we're very, very pleased at their reception. We've got a lot of good hard work to do, but we believe that what higher education needs in America right now is significant disruption and significant value for the dollar.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Let me just make sure I say it correctly here. Gerson Moreno Riano received his, he's the president, the 12th president of Cornerstone University, which is a Christian university in Michigan. It's great to have him on the show today. Really excited to talk about this new program that they have. You're also a scholar and an intellectual. I'm not even going to try to pronounce this because I'll completely botch it, but it's right here in our backyard in Princeton University. It is, you're a fellow in the, why don't you just tell us what it is?
Yeah, for several years, the Lehrman American Studies Center held a fellowship center at Princeton for every summer for 2 weeks. And I was able to attend. I was invited by the Lehrman American Studies Center to go to Princeton. They had two weeks of the year. And we studied American principles, ideas, and the Constitution. I just learned the power of not just ideas, but ensure that we make ideas relevant to everyday people. That to me was the most important thing we need to be doing.
Yeah, and I think that it's really important too. And one of the points about that, and I appreciate the fact that you are a philosopher, and because I think it's lost today in a generation to really critically think about things. Mm-hmm. And I worry in kind of this ADD environment that we're in, where everything is, you know, a minute or 90 seconds or so, that people won't dive in deep and think about these things. But the other thing I worry about is that the idea of debating different ideas, particularly mm-hmm. on college campuses, is going away. And I know that you believe very much in free speech, and you believe in the idea of the discourse of ideas. But what is the state of American politics, for lack of a better word, on college campuses right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, you've seen it in the last 2 years play out, even been since COVID playing out. What was shocking to me in over the last 2 years was the inability of leaders in our country, college leaders in our country, to call out evil and say it's evil. Yeah. Let's just start there. That was a shock to me, because one of the very important parts of higher education, American higher education, is it's been premised and founded on truth and on beauty and on goodness. Without that, you have no education. Uh-huh. If you can't speak about truth, what's true, what's beautiful, and what's good, and educate individuals toward that, then you don't have education. You don't have universities. And that, to me, was the biggest shock over the last couple of years, the inability or the unwillingness, maybe, of leaders to call certain things out. So freedom is absolutely, absolutely non-negotiable, the most important foundation to have significant, vigorous discussions about truth, beauty, and goodness. If you take freedom away, then you take away that possibility. And I think not only do you shortchange your society, you hurt your society in the future, because you have to have the ability to have these discussions and rationally, thoughtfully, intellectually, respectfully, but you have to do that. So my sense now is that even in American higher ed, you know, there's a shift happening. I think people are realizing the importance of it. They're realizing what's going to happen if they don't. They're realizing that the new administration is really pushing for this, and it's important. But I think for many years, it's been untouched.
Yeah.
For many years, you know, you can go to institutions. I mean, several years ago, there were actual movements to destroy universities, and universities themselves hosted those conversations, right? And so it's been a shocking, what I call sort of revolutionary lab of ideas across many universities that have been hurting. And I think now we're beginning to see a shift that I think should be welcomed and should cause universities to embrace and have real open conversation and dialogue, because that's what education is supposed to be.
Grisan, last question for you. I mean, as president of Cornerstone University, and you just did this tuition reset, lowering tuition by 22%, which is amazing. I mean, that's my, I'm hearing that and I'm going, wow, but the situation of how our tuition got so out of control, I blame the government for a lot of that, in the sense that no matter what colleges did, they would guarantee a loan to go for that kid. So there was no incentive for universities to cut costs, to look into things. So they kept, you know, raising salaries and expanding, knowing that no matter what they charged, there would always be a student in that seat backed by a government loan. And then, of course, all these college students graduated with all this debt. And then you had the previous administration come along and just say, well, we'll cancel the debt. The Supreme Court says, no, you can't. He does it anyway. And it just becomes a secular problem here with no end in sight, as I think about what college is going to cost when my five-year-old is ready to go to college. So what do we do in the long term? As a guy who's really working hard to bring down the cost of tuition for the students at Cornerstone, what do we do in the long term to fix this problem?
I think universities have to be forced to innovate and grow on their own. Otherwise, I think what's happened with the government, it's created dependency on the government. And that dependency and no accountability means that there's no incentive to innovate, to grow, to be good stewards, to be effective necessarily. And if that's not there and the money keeps flowing, then you get what you get, which is what we are right now. So you have to innovate and grow. Otherwise, if you don't, I think you should be looking at consolidating and closing, quite frankly. I think that's what many schools are looking at right now. I think in the state of Pennsylvania, I just read last week, there's a significant, in the Penn State system, 14 campuses, I think, or 16, and they're considering perhaps downsizing 12 of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a very real situation across the country.
Yeah, well, I think your SOAR app, your mobile app, is going to help in that. And that's not a bad thing either, by the way. It's not a bad thing to think about, because I see far too much waste on beautiful campus buildings that are built that really serve no educational purpose. But it does lead to higher tuition rates, no doubt about that.
Yeah, you have to innovate, and you have to, you know, look, it's a competitive market, number one. You have companies like Google, like Amazon, like IBM doing a lot of in-house training and education themselves. They're realizing that the graduates they're receiving from our colleges are not ready for the market. So there's something wrong.
That's crazy.
Universities have to pay attention to that. We have to innovate. We have to force effectiveness, and it should be a welcomed thing, effectiveness of what we're doing, and measuring and ensuring that the people we graduate are three steps ahead out there for the market, and that they actually are a blessing to our communities, our organizations, our institutions, our businesses. And I think that's what we have to do. I think the transition of a DOE bureaucracy to something that's much more lean and perhaps not doesn't exist will force institutions to do that. And I think those that do it proactively will be farther ahead than those that don't.
Yeah, well said. Great conversation. Grisan Moreno-Riano, president of Cornerstone University. Thank you, my friend. Hope to have you back on the show again.
Thanks so much for the opportunity. Take care. Thank you.
God bless.